This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Jim Cimbala preaches at a church called Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in Brooklyn, New York. I heard him tell this story about a young woman who lived in an apartment building, a four-floor, I think he said walk-up, not a building with elevators, but you had to walk up to the fourth floor if you lived in one of the apartments there. She lived right across the alley behind the church. And she would say that when she would come home on, I think, Wednesday nights from work, she would hear the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir practicing music, and she said, I hated it. I hated the sound of those people singing those hymns and those spiritual songs, and she would even walk up the stairs with her hands like this over her ears. I can't stand to hear that music. But something very dramatic happened in her life. She was on the top floor, on the roof of the building with her boyfriend, having a little party, shooting up a little heroin. And she overdosed on heroin, as is the case. And it's a concern in our culture today, all over the country, not just in certain areas. And she passed out, and her boyfriend, who loved her so much, just took off. He abandoned her there in a stupor and left. And someone finally came upon her and called the 911 and got help for her. Jim Cimbala would say, not only does that woman now attend the church, she sings in the choir she used to hate. Isn't that interesting? I used to hate that music, and now I sing the very songs that I used to hate. What happened to that woman? I'll tell you what happened to her. One word, L-I-G-H-T, light. Light came into her life. The light of Christ shined in her hearts. That's what we're going to read today in 2 Corinthians, that there's power in the light of God's word. There's power in the light of Christ. And that's what Satan wants to extinguish in your life, is light. That's what he wants to put out. He doesn't want you to be around the light at all. We're continuing this series. We're in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, just the first 6 verses of chapter 4. Paul, the apostle, is speaking. And he says in verse 1, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we don't lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. I mentioned this in the first 2 services. There's a man here today, I don't know who you are, but you need to renounce some stuff in your life today. Not tomorrow, today. And we'll talk about that in a minute. There's a woman here today. I have no idea. No, it's none of my business who you are. But in all 3 services, somebody needs to renounce something. I'll talk about what the word renounce means. It means more than you think it does. We renounce secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, who's the God of this age? Satan. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image, the word is icon in the Greek, the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Well, it's no accident that the word light is used to describe the truth of God's word, the truth of who Jesus is, the truth about forgiveness. It's all connected to L-I-G-H-T, to light. We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. You do remember our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. We'll continue with part 2 of the 3rd message tomorrow on Cross Hope. God bless you.
Most sermons that most ministers give, they give you an outline, and here I want you to write down 3 points, and I do that often myself. But there are times when the text is your outline. There are times when the verses you read, that's what you should have as your outline, is what does the word say? And today is one of those days. So look at verse 1 with me. It says, therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, We do not lose heart. I'm going to surprise you today, but every man and every woman in this room who's a believer in Christ has a ministry, whether you know it or not. The word ministry just means service. The word minister means servant. To have a ministry means anything you do in the name of Christ and for Christ is your ministry. Would you listen to that again? Anything you do in the name of Christ. You give a cup of cold water to a thirsty man or woman in the name of Jesus. That's your ministry. You help somebody out in a tight situation, whatever it's financially or advice, counsel. That's your ministry. We all have a ministry. We don't lose heart. We don't give up. Satan wants you to throw in the towel and say, what's the use? You weren't called to come to Christ for a few years or till something better comes along. You were called to be faithful unto death. Revelation says, be faithful unto death. It's a lifetime commitment that leads into eternity. Now let's focus on that verse that maybe is intriguing to some people. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. What's that mean to renounce? Well, you may say, well, I don't use that word. Well, maybe you don't, but you've done what the word means. Don't raise your hand, but has anybody ever said this recently? Well, I'm done with him. Well, you know so-and-so, I'm done with her. I'm done. That's it. I've written them out of my life. That's renouncing somebody. That's declaring to yourself, I'm done with that person. And Paul says, we renounce secret and shameful ways. And somebody said, well, what were those secret and shameful ways? If we knew what he's talking about, they wouldn't be secret, would they? I don't know what they were, what he's referencing exactly. But I know the principle is there. There comes a time in a man's life, a woman's life, a young person's life to renounce stuff going on in your life. Why? Because there's power in declaring, I'm done with this. This garbage has been going on in my life for 10 years. I'm done with it. To renounce secret and shameful ways, that may speak to somebody here, and if it does, I'm glad you're here today. I don't say that arrogantly or presumptuously. I say it to all of us, to you and to me. What is it in your life that you need to renounce in the name of Christ? Look at verse 3. And even if our gospel, the good news, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are dying, who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. This may surprise you, what I'm going to say. I think it surprised some people in the first two services, but I personally don't think Satan cares if you get drunk on Friday night. I really don't think he cares either, one way or the other. I don't think he cares if you get higher than a kite on Saturday. I don't think he even cares who you're sleeping with, if you're sleeping in some immoral relationship with another person. I'll tell you what he wants to do in your life, real plain and simple, right from this verse. He wants to blind you. He does care about blinding you to the truth of the gospel. He wants to blind you to the truth of God's word. That's all that matters to him. He doesn't care what you do or what you don't do, as long as you're blind. Spiritually speaking, as long as you're blind.
Have you ever noticed that spiritual blindness seems to run in families? I have. Have you ever noticed that blindness seems to run with a group of people, that people who are blind spiritually tend to find other people who are blind just like them? Our website is crosshope.org, crosshope.org. We'll continue tomorrow exactly where we leave off today. Now then, today, part 3 of the third message from our new series called Through the Looking Glass. It's a series from the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, where we take a second look at a lot of issues in your life and my life through the lens of Christ and the lens of God's Word.
So the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light. Have you ever wondered about somebody and you say, I wonder why he doesn't become a Christian. I wonder why she doesn't believe. I'll tell you in a few words. They're blind. They have been blinded by the God of this age. I don't say that again arrogantly or presumptuously. That's what Paul says. He affirms Satan has blinded people, the unbelievers, so they can't see the light of the gospel. Some of you know who Sir Isaac Newton was. If you ever studied any kind of mathematical or science courses in junior high, high school, or college, or even postgraduate work, you've studied Sir Isaac Newton, considered one of the most brilliant people of his day. And he was a believer. And someone quotes a story about Sir Isaac Newton, who had someone come to him one day and say, "I don't understand. You seem to believe the Bible like a child, and yet you're a very learned man. You seem to believe the Bible like a child. I've tried, but I cannot. So many of its statements mean nothing to me. I cannot believe. I can't understand." Here was his reply, according to this author. "Sometimes I come into my study, and in my absent-mindedness, I try to light the candle on my desk with the extinguisher over." It was a metal cap that went over candles. "I try to light the candle with the extinguisher is over it, and I fumble about trying to light it and can't. But when I remove the extinguisher, then I'm able to light the candle. I'm afraid the extinguisher in your case is the love of your sin. It's the deliberate unbelief that is in you." What a phrase, the deliberate unbelief that is in you. "Turn to God in repentance. Be prepared to let the Spirit of God reveal this truth to you, and it will be His joy to show the glory of the grace of God shining in the face of Christ." Isaac Newton was not only a great scientist, but a great teacher in that sense, teacher of the word. Why don't people believe? Because Satan has blinded their eyes, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is it in your life, personal question, only you can answer, that is like that extinguisher over the candle, that is extinguishing the gospel in your life? You know what it is. What is it that's extinguishing the truth of God's word in your life? And you have that thing in your life. You know what it is. Nobody has to telegraph it to you. Nobody has to write you a note. Nobody has to email you. You know what it is. And Satan's goal, the god of this age, is to blind people, blind the hearts and minds and the eyes of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel. When Jesus was on this earth, someone comments that the two most common illnesses that he dealt with, blindness and lameness. I find that interesting. When Jesus cleansed the temple and everybody was run out of the temple for selling things on the temple courtyards, it says the only people that were left were the blind and the lame. Why? They couldn't get out of there. They needed help. If you were blind, you needed help to leave the temple area. If you were lame, you needed help to get out. And isn't it interesting that, and it says that Jesus healed the blind and the lame that were there. He's interested in healing blindness and lameness today. Do you know what spiritual blindness is? It's when you don't see the sin in your own life and I don't see it in mine. That's blindness. Do you know what lameness is? It's when you're focused so much on the past and focused so much on the future and so much what's going on in your life today, you can't do anything spiritually in terms of movement, forward motion. That's spiritual lameness.
Well, we'll continue this thought about spiritual blindness and lameness tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org.
You know what spiritual blindness is? It's when you don't see the sin in your own life and I don't see it in mine. That's blindness. You know what lameness is? It's when you're focused so much on the past and focused so much on the future and so much what's going on in your life today, you can't do anything spiritually in terms of movement, forward motion. That's spiritual lameness. I mentioned a year ago, this same week, that there's a term in veterinary medicine called untreatable lameness. I'd never heard that before. Where a dog or a horse has untreatable lameness, where the veterinarian says, "There's nothing I can do for your dog. There's nothing I can do for your horse. We may have to think about putting this animal down, euthanizing them, because it's untreatable lameness." I want to tell you today, there is no such thing as untreatable lameness spiritually. The Lord can heal you today. He can treat blindness. He can treat lameness, spiritually speaking. And He does it all the time because of He's God. And He has that kind of power to do that. I want to focus on verse 6 because this is the key verse. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,'" quoting Genesis 1:3, "made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." I get nervous anytime I talk about scientific things, physics or anything, because I'm not a scientist, believe me. But as I understand it, I had somebody sit me down and explain it to me that for years, physicists and scientists thought that light in space had to have a medium to go through. When the sound waves come out of the speakers in this room, they have to have the medium of air. And the sound waves come out and hit the molecules. of air and push them aside, and that's what creates the sound. It travels through the medium of the air. And so there was thinking, even among physicists, that light has to have what they called ether in space, and it travels through that medium. And then the discovery was made, light doesn't need anything to propagate itself. Light is light. It stands on its own two feet. And isn't it interesting? That's the word that's used to describe Christ. That's the word to use to describe God's word. It's light. It stands on its own. And the light of Christ, notice what Paul says, it shines in your heart. You know how that happens? You're listening on the radio to a message, maybe by accident, as people have told me over the years, stumbled on your program, and I heard you say something, light of Christ shining in their heart for 1 second. You hear a message proclaimed from this pulpit, the light of Christ shining into your heart, not my message, but God's message from his word. It's always got to be based on his word. That's the basis. That's the authority. That's the foundation, his word. Having a conversation with somebody over lunch and somebody prays over the meal, light of Christ. Somebody says a word for the Lord, the light of Christ shining in your heart. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Where have you been the tool, the instrument of God's light coming into someone's life? You realize all the garbage that people bring into other people's lives? We bring profanity into somebody's life. We bring a dirty joke into somebody's life. We bring anger and resentment and bitterness and how mad we are and how ticked we are. And we bring that into other people's lives and they bring it into our lives. When did it occur to us to shine the light of God's light in somebody's life? I love that phrase, for God said, verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, speaking about creating light at the beginning, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You may have vision problems, but the greatest vision problem you may have is spiritual blindness. And today, in the name of Christ, you need to let the Lord open your eyes. Because of the Masters Tournament that's going on in, I think it's Augusta, Georgia, I always think every year of a golfer by the name of Payne Stewart. Remember the guy that wore the old-fashioned knickers and the old-fashioned golfing garb? Payne Stewart was killed in a plane crash in October, I believe, of 99. And Payne Stewart, after a tournament, was flying in a Learjet, two pilots, two close business associates, I think one or two friends. And you may remember the story. They surmised that there was a leak in the windshield, and somehow they lost oxygen, and they slowly just, everybody on the plane went to sleep. An F-16 jet, Air Force jet, was sent up to check what was going on. They got within 50 feet of the Lear. They edged closer, but they couldn't see anyone moving inside the plane. An Air Force Captain Hamilton said later, it's a very helpless feeling to pull up alongside another aircraft and realize the people inside that plane are potentially unconscious or some way incapacitated. There was nothing I could do physically from my aircraft, even though I was just 50, 75 feet away. The F-16s got close, checking both sides for structural damage, but found none. For more than 4 hours, get this, this is from Tracy Stewart's book. Payne Stewart's wife wrote this, for more than 4 hours and 1,400 miles, the plane streaked across America with nobody touching the controls. For 4 hours, flying itself. About 1:16 p.m. in the afternoon that day, the 2.5 million high-performance jet aircraft apparently ran out of fuel and spiraled from the sky at nearly the speed of sound. This Learjet carrying my husband, two of our dearest friends, a trusted business associate, and two pilots, plummeted into a field near Minas, South Dakota. The jet hit the earth at about 600 miles per hour, blowing a hole in the ground about 40 feet wide and 10 to 14 feet deep. My soulmate, my best friend, the father of my children, was dead, was gone. Now, the story that I want to tell you, even though that's a terrible story and stands on its own, is a dramatic story, was what Tracy Stewart tells, that months or maybe a year or two earlier, Payne Stewart gave his life to Christ. And Payne Stewart would wear a band, the WWJD, what would Jesus do? And he meant it. What would Jesus do? And he had an impact on his friends and golfing associates because they all talked about the change that took place in Payne Stewart's life. What happened to Payne Stewart? Light. L-I-G-H-T. This week I read somebody talking about their university studies. They were studying comparative religions. He made an interesting comment. I've never heard anyone say this before. He said, most of the world religions had one word that was the common denominator of all those religions. Two letters. D-O. Do. 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 And he said, as a Christian, I realize there's one word that describes Christianity. Done. Done. It's already been done because of the cross. It's already been done because of what Jesus accomplished in his death, burial, and yes, resurrection from the dead. What's the message today? It's all about light, L-I-G-H-T. The light of Christ that God wants to shine in your hearts, and Satan's goal is not to get you drunk, not to get you high, not to get you immoral. His goal is to blind you from the truth of God's word and to blind you from the truth of the gospel. It's all about light or lack thereof. Decide. Decide today to open your eyes and the eyes of your heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, to see what? The light of Christ. It's all about his light. Always has been. Always will be until eternity.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.